Good news, everyone. Someone took great comedians and great musicians and lively conversation and mashed it all up together. It's called Wits, and I'm the host, John Moe. With me this week, comedian and filmmaker Bobcat Goldthwait and singer-songwriter Stephen Page. Hey, guys.
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Is there going to be an anesthetic?
For what?
For when they mash up my comedy with Stephen's music. It sounds like it might hurt, and I like to be all numbed up.
I think you didn't really understand.
I'm not so good with anesthetic. If it's not perfect, I start kickboxing, and it's involuntary.
If he kickboxes, I need to kick defend myself.
No, there's no kicking. There's no need for any of that. The music and comedy and conversation, it all blends together on its own. No sedatives necessary.
Well, who are those people?
John Munson and the Witnesses.
And those people?
The live audience at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. We'll get started right after the news. From the Fitzgerald Theater, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. Kodachrome by Paul Simon. If you took all the girls I knew when I was single, brought them all together for one night, you know, it never matched my sweet imagination, and everything looks worse in black and white. That scenario always troubled me. All the girls I knew when I was single? For some sort of evening activity? Oh God, that sounds terrible. First of all, who all is invited? Is it everybody I went on an actual date with? All the girls I had a crush on? All the girls that I made out with at some fraternity party in college? And are they preserved at that moment when I first encountered them? So you have third grade Diana Littlefield next to some drunk sorority gal? That's not gonna go well at all. I mean, in my case, we're not talking about all that many girls. We could probably have the event in a small hotel conference room, the kind where homeschool kids would have their sad proms. Important people getting together in one place is an idea that always sounds great, but it falls apart a little bit the more you think about it. Super Friends, perfect example. You got Superman and Batman, sure, but one uses magic and one uses gadgets, and they don't fight in the same way, and they don't fight the same people, and it just doesn't mesh. And you always get a sense that Superman could just crush Batman if he really wanted to. He's holding back. And then Aquaman's there, but really his only power is in the sea, so he's just at the Hall of Justice, like, for meetings. And then the Wonder Twins, one of them's turning into a bucket of ice water. There's a monkey. Apache Chief is hanging. It's a disaster. All-Star Games, another one. Great athletes, but no real teams, no consequences. Nothing matters. I mean, go western half of the United States? I don't know. I think about this because I often daydream about important people from my own life getting together. The heroes, the people who've opened my mind, the people who've changed my perspective on things. I mean, how great would it be to have George Carlin and Richard Pryor and Steve Martin just hanging out, eating snacks. Or my fifth grade teacher, Ms. Brimhall, who taught us animation, kicking it with Tom Waits. But the more I think about it, the more problematic this becomes. The ancient Greek epic poet Homer might be able to communicate with De La Soul in a real rudimentary way. But it's gonna be frustrating, I think. And Johnny Carson, Vincent van Gogh, and T.S. Eliot having a conversation, that seems kind of rough. So then I recast it. What if we all open a restaurant together? But David Mamet is rude to the customers. Flannery O'Connor can't make a decent chicken salad. Joe Strummer never shows up for his shift. I mean, come on. David Sedaris can't run this place by himself. So let's all go on vacation. That'll be relaxing. No. Because then my migraine-prone seventh-grade English teacher, Mr. Gabriel, who taught us about logic, hangs out with Euripides, and they just don't have much to say to each other. It's just a lot of sitting there. And everybody wants to talk to Shakespeare, but he's freaked out because he's never been on a cruise ship before. My wife and kids, perhaps my biggest heroes of all, don't get along with Picasso. Everybody loves the art, but Picasso himself, kind of a jerk. The kinship I feel for these heroes is strong, but I think it's best left inside my head. Although the cruise ship scenario does sound kind of fun, even if no one gets along. Especially if no one gets along. Thank you. Please welcome Bobcat Goldthwait. Hello, Bobcat.
How are you?
Pleased to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. I want to start with the stand-up. A friend of mine in the 1980s, after she first saw you, said, "He was really funny, but if that's who he really is, I don't feel like I should laugh." Is that what you were going for?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what I'm still going for, you know. With the movies I make, unfortunately, it's not the most lucrative path you can take, trying to make an audience uncomfortable. I don't think you understand. My movies make hundreds of dollars.
Really?
Yeah.
Tens of people stream into them?
Tens of people, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my form of whatever. Isn't that weird, though? I've always been happy making an audience uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, which is, I guess, can be hilarious.
Well, it's not that. It's like Robin Williams is my good friend, and his form of insecurity is he wants everybody to agree that he's really funny and love him, and that doesn't interest me as much, you know, because we would go on the same shows, you know, and people would go nuts, and then I would come out, and then people would go, "How was the show last night?" "It was Robin Williams showed up. Yeah, it was great." And then Bobcat Goldthwait was there. You know what he said? You know what he did? You know, and that I like.
That's affecting people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I own them more.
You linger more than Robin
does.
Yeah,
they'll be thinking about me forever. If I ever run into that jerk, you know, it's nice to know they're thinking about me.
Well, I want to ask about the Police Academy movies. Any 22-year-old actor in the world would be super psyched to get those parts. How did you feel about getting those parts?
I got to tell you, Police Academy, really, I'm 50 years old now, and I truly, if I knew, you know, almost 30 years later, I'd be talking about them, I would have worked harder. You know what I mean? What do you want me to say? All right, yeah. Action. Really, that's all my dialogue? Okay, cool.
I'll be in my trailer if you need me.
I'll be in Steve's trailer. I used to sleep in Steve Guttenberg's trailer.
Why?
Because he had a nicer trailer. Because I used to pick on him because he had this nice trailer and we had these little dumpy ones. And he goes, "Just use my trailer." And so I would
He didn't think you'd take him up
on it. Yeah, yeah. And so, public radio. So he came in and I was just nude laying in his bed one day. I'm like, "Hello, Mr. Gutenberg."
Why did you start making films as a director and writer?
You know, now that I make movies that play film festivals, when I hear myself getting interviewed, I want to punch me in the throat, you know? It's like, "Oh, really, auteur? You were in Hot to Trot. All right, let's pipe down."
And One Crazy Summer.
One Crazy Summer, which I'll stand by One Crazy Summer.
That's a pretty good movie, actually. Your new movie is God Bless America. Can you give a... let people know who haven't seen it, who weren't among the tens who saw it, what it's about?
God Bless America, I like to say, is it's a very, very violent movie about kindness. And it's about a guy who's pushed to wanting to commit suicide, and he's sitting at home, and he's about to commit suicide. No, wait, it gets funnier. And then he's watching a show on MTV that's a lot like that show, My Super Sweet 16. So instead of committing suicide, he decides to drive 400 miles and shoots and kills the girl from that show. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And he shoots her in the head, and then her classmate's like, "Did you kill Chloe?" And he doesn't say anything. She goes, "Awesome." And she convinces him that there's so many more people in America that need to get killed. So...
And the spree begins.
I'm not pro-violence or murder. That's the thing that cracks me up every once in a while. People will go, "What are you saying? You should kill people that text in movie theaters?" It's like, well, no. No, no, you know, I mean, that's the joke, but sometimes people don't get that that's the joke.
But the character, the lead character, delivers all these monologues about his beliefs and his worldview, and it's hard not to think of that as you kind of talking through him.
Yeah, because he does have these lot of rants about where are we going as a culture and who are we if we, you know, pick on our weak. And yeah, he does. He's kind of a blowhard. Are you saying I'm a blowhard, John?
No, no. I'm just hoping you're not a murderer.
Oh. No. But my Joel says that I am the character Frank that he plays in the movie, but I'm not. But my wife says that I'm Frank also, but...
So it's only the people who know you best.
Yeah.
Well, I was watching this movie, and I kind of have a weak stomach for violence in films, and I was a little uncomfortable, but I was also thinking, how many deaths do you see in an action movie of just, like, henchman number five and cops standing around? There's a lot of movies that I think I see a lot more people killed than in your movie.
And in a way more graphic way.
In a way more anonymous way. Like, they were just standing there. There was a little bit of that in yours, but a lot of just standing around.
But in movies, when someone's murdered, they make them a villain, and so then you're not supposed to feel guilty, or you're supposed to actually enjoy their death. And in this movie, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable when people die. I don't take it for granted, you know? And I think it's because it's a very talky movie, and then with a body count that people do get upset, you know?
And in God Bless America, someone gets shot just for making fun of how hairy Robin Williams is.
Yeah, well, that was just a shout-out to my peeps.
Whoop, whoop! How many... So you've made four films?
Five.
Yeah, okay.
But when you say films, it makes me laugh.
Movies?
Movies,
You're better with movies.
I make movies.
What's the difference between films and movies?
They have a budget.
Okay. Is it true that you movied some of these scenes in New York in Times Square without a permit, just kind of going rogue?
Yeah. There's a scene where it's pretty funny because every once in a while people would start looking down our camera lens, so that would bust the take. You can't put that in a movie. All of a sudden someone's looking at you. The fourth wall is destroyed. So I could see that they were doing that. So suddenly I just start doing this really, really crazy, like a fish dance. You know what I mean? Like I was at some hippie dance, like really, and started taking off clothes, and they would just look at me.
Martin Scorsese does that all the time.
Yeah. Well, it was like, because they would stop looking at the lens, and they go, is that Bobcat Goldthwait? That's really sad. That's what happened. That's what happened to him. Go give him a dollar.
How many scripts are you working on now for movies?
After World's Greatest Dad, I had written five more movies. So there's like a musical, there's a zombie fetus movie, there's... I write a lot of movies.
And is it the same goal of making people uncomfortable? Or do you even think about that?
I don't think in those terms. I don't go, well, this will really blow everybody's minds. It really is what comes out of me, you know? So, I mean, I really don't... My goal isn't to disturb people. Just the things that I find entertaining does disturb some people.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? But in my defense, you know, a Kate Hudson movie freaks me out.
That's fair.
You know, as soon as Sandra Bullock shows up, I'm like, this doesn't represent any reality I'm familiar with.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe. More with Bobcat Goldthwait in just a moment.
Thank you.
Oh, my word, this is Wits. I'm John Moe talking with Bobcat Goldthwait. Bobcat, you're doing great. You are a natural for public radio.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to get my own public radio show for years.
Really? What kind of show?
Who's your crazy morning guy? Well, you know, like your guy who'll say anything?
Oh, Steve Inskeep on Morning Edition. One time, he was talking to Gore Vidal. And, yeah, okay, no, I get your point.
I'm thinking a big zany morning zoo crew. We talk about sex, reality show recaps. We have strippers on doing traffic reports.
Whoa, no. Bob, public radio is a cultured audience, and it's very exacting. Stripper traffic reports, what if they're not accurate?
Trust me, as one of the original screaming comedians of the 1980s and a filmmaker who's been to Sundance many times, I'm uniquely qualified to be the wild man of public radio.
Okay.
Check my intro.
Bobcat in the morning.
If I get too mellow, I ripen and then rot.
Malkovich?
My top schools where I want to apply to are Oxford and the Sorbonne. My safety's Harvard.
Public radio.
Good morning, public radio. A killer show today. The Whack Pack is in full effect. Marion, the crazy librarian, is here.
I'll read anything.
Wine snob Rob.
Always drunk, but never from a box.
And my sidekick, John Moe.
Sidekick? No, no, no. I never said I'd do that.
Public radio.
Uh-oh, it's already getting nuts up in here. Miriam, what have you got for me today?
Wardrobe malfunction at the American Book Awards. At the top of the hour, we're going to post cell phone pics taken of Jennifer Egan. Look what you can see when she leans way over to sign a book.
Whoa! A visit from the boob squad.
No. Jennifer Egan is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. This is not going on our website.
Wine snob Rob, how about our second hour?
I go medieval on the new Pinots.
But first is...
Prank Call Friday.
Well, prank call? Not even Neil Conan does that. Who are you calling?
Noam Chomsky.
No, not Noam Chomsky. I've interviewed him before. He knows my voice.
This is going to be good.
Oh, no.
I can't wait for this. No.
You have reached the desk of Noam Chomsky. Oh. At the sound of the tone, please leave your name, number, and the government you'd like me to denounce.
Hello. Why are you calling me so early?
Dr. Chomsky, this is Robert Goldthwait calling from public radio in Minnesota. We wanted to get your reaction to today's news.
Well, my opinion of the news doesn't change. It's the same disinformation day in and day out from a corporate media cartel that's been manufacturing public opinion for decades.
I meant the news that President Obama has named George Clooney Secretary of State.
What? Oh, well, okay, I did like Out of Sight. The one where Clooney plays an American criminal and J-Lo is a Latina law enforcement agent policing him, which is an analogy to Latin American foreign policy I'd like to see, actually.
Oh, hold on, I didn't pick up on any of that in Out of Sight. Are you thinking of Syriana?
Is that John Moe? Oh. John Moe, I remember you.
Busted!
whoa, who is this?
Noam, you just got clawed by the bobcat.
Goldthwait, you madman! How many times have you pulled this one on me?
Aw, thanks, Chompers.
Chompers? Chompers, this is a side to public radio I never even knew existed. Oh my gosh, look at my Insta segment rating. We got a 10% bump.
See? We're gonna make...
We're gonna make millions of dollars. Okay, let's get those Jennifer Egan picks up.
Public radio.
You're listening to Wits. I'm John Moe. Stephen Page is one of the founders of the band Bare Naked Ladies, which, along with free healthcare and hockey, form the national identity of Canada. The band was popular in the States, too, with songs such as One Week. He's a solo performer now, and we're happy to have him with us. Stephen Page, welcome. I read where a lot of your introduction to songwriting came about as a result of some crappy headphones.
Well, yeah, I think as a kid, I had these bad Radio Shack headphones, you know, the giant ones, and I'd lie on the floor in my parents' living room listening to Beatles records, and when the headphones would just kind of come out of the jack a little bit, all of a sudden it would go out of phase, and you'd hear just like the bass and the reverb, and that whole idea of that mush of music that was just a kind of a ball all started to unravel, and I could see that it was like individual instruments with guys playing them, and I wanted to do that.
So did it make you want to make the mushy sound more, or put something on top of it?
I wanted to fool people with and create the mushy sound out of individual ingredients.
Well, play us some music, won't you?
Sure.
Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, just to check out the late night record shop. Caught it impulsive, kind of composer, kind of insane. When I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, and a matter of fact. You can call me a Pavlov's dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me, and I'm just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Oh. So I'm lying here, staring at the ceiling tiles, and I'm thinking about, oh, what to think about. Just listening and re-listening to smile, smile, and I'm wondering if this is some kind of creative drop. Because I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. You wanna find me, I'll be out in the sandbox, just wondering where the hell all the love is gone. I'm playing my guitar, building castles in the sun, whoa, whoa, whoa. And singing fun, fun, fun. I'm laying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm laying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Dream that I was 300 pounds, and though I was very heavy, I floated till I couldn't see the ground. I floated till I could not see the ground. Oh, no, 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 no. Somebody help me, I couldn't see the ground. Somebody help me, couldn't see the ground. Somebody help me, because I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I lay in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Ooh, yeah! Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, just to check out the late night record shop. Count it impulsive, count it compulsive, call it insane. Oh, but when I'm surrounded, I just can't stop.
with John Munson and the Witnesses.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Bobcat Goldthwait and Stephen Page are here too. We're putting on a show. All art, be it comedy or music, must be placed in competition and judged. How else would we know if it's worthwhile? Thus, the Wits Game Show. As always, we tailor the game to the unique talents of our guests. Bobcat Goldthwait is an accomplished filmmaker who looks on the dark side of life. His latest movie was a murder comedy. His first feature, Shakes the Clown, took a perfectly innocent thing, the clown, and somehow found something scary about it. Stephen Page has written a lot of songs that sound happy, even though they're not necessarily happy. If I Had $1 Million is, in the end, about not having $1 Million. The game this week is called Into the Dark, Into the Light. I will give Bobcat happy scenarios. He will have to give the pitch for a movie treatment that steers those scenarios into darkness. Stephen Page gets the opposite, a dark scenario, and he has to write a very brief happy song about it. I will judge after each round, and my judgments will be unfair and capricious. Let's begin. Bobcat.
Yes?
Leading health experts declare that bacon is good for you. Find the dark side.
It's a coming of age story of a young anemic Jewish boy. Who's bullied, and the goyim that pick on him actually think it's funny that they're going to force him to eat bacon, which actually is good for him and gives him strength. Now, you think that's a happy story.
Well, yeah, I was going there.
But he ends up beating all these other kids up, and he becomes the very thing he hated.
Wow. Okay, that really did bring me down. Stephen Page, your job is to take a dim scenario and write a very brief happy song about it. Here it is. You are caught in a bear trap while having a migraine.
I can see spots. I think I'm gonna throw up now. I can see spots, but now my foot has been cleaved clean off. It's great to be alive and running away from a bear trap with only one foot.
Ooh. I'm giving it to Stephen Page. I give the round to Stephen Page. All right.
Nicely played, Paige.
Yeah.
You're going down.
Bobcat Goldthwait, number two. Very short one. A ducky.
This is autobiographical.
Ducky. Autobiographical.
When I was a boy, I had a pet duck named Arnold. And Arnold turned out to be a female duck. And I was very excited and ran across the street to the Wysorek's house. And I was saying, Arnold, Arnold, Arnold laid an egg, Arnold, Arnold. And Arnold thought I was calling her. And got hit bill first by a... It's not funny, ladies and gentlemen. Arnold got hit bill first by a semi-truck.
Stephen, you can have a turn here, but I...
Arnold, Arnold, Arnold laid an egg. Arnold, Arnold...
I don't have anything, sorry. It just ends up sad.
Okay, all right. Well, but it is your turn anyway. They finally do a new season of Arrested Development, and it's... And it's awful, like much worse than According to Jim ever was. turn that into a happy song. Stephen Page.
Now they've got nothing else to talk about. On Twitter, I've got time for myself.
Oh, nice twist, nice twist. But for pathos, Goldthwait wins the round. One more question for each. Bobcat, this sort of is the capper. World peace is established forever. Find the darkness.
Well, without war and fighting and strife and the idea that you could be killed at any time with a dirty bomb or terrorism, when these things are gone, art becomes really horrible. So...
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Stephen Page.
So, wait.
Oh, sorry.
The plot of that one sucks.
So there's... well, because I'm trying to make it more personal, and it's a father and son story... Because the dad makes his living selling and manufacturing flags. And he's out of work, and his son's a protest singer. And he doesn't have a job either.
All right.
They kill themselves. And then everybody's got something to write music about and paint and make movies about.
This is, you're trying to do something clutch down the stretch here, aren't you?
I know, I think if I keep talking, I might win.
Stephen Page, final song to you. Stephen Page, dogs start to talk and are super sarcastic jerks.
Fido really put me in my place. He told me to my face. He told me to my face that I was not his master anymore. So I let him go free and he ran. He ran far away. And now he's somebody else's problem.
The winner of the game show is Bobcat Goldthwait. I think he had the eye of the tiger. I think he had the eye of the tiger, and he just wanted it more.
I just wouldn't shut up.
Lots more to come. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. This is Wits, a program. I'm John Moe. I do need to take care of a little business here, if you'll excuse me. Support for Wits comes from fathers who ask you to remember that time when they said they'd give you something to really cry about. After all those years, here it is, the impermanence of love. And from Beck's Bed and Breakfast, where we have a couple of couches, you still have to sleep on the love seat. Additional support provided by The End of Civilization, currently presenting the Burger King Bacon Sundae. A real thing. and funding for the first three quarters of which provided by LeBron James. Pop song correspondences. A note from the contractor working on Robert Plant's home remodeling project. Dear Mr. Plant, I wanted to talk with you in person, but you haven't been around much lately. The hair salon or at a Junior Tolkien book club, I'm told. There are things we need to figure out, but you only seem to want to communicate through songs.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Yeah, they deliver that stairway. It's outside right now. I know your wife was excited about getting a golden stairway at a cheap price, and I hate to tell you this, but someone just put gold glitter on it. The stairway's made of plywood and old loading pallets. And we'll never get it into the house. The stairway is infinity feet tall. It goes all the way to heaven. I didn't know they made those.
There's a feeling I get when I look to the west, and my spirit is crying for leaving.
I don't know what you mean when you talk hippie language. I'm a contractor. Does that mean you want a big window facing west? And the crying spirit thing, is that for the bathroom?
In my thoughts, I have seen rings of smoke through the trees and the voices of those who stand looking.
Oh yeah, those are just my guys smoking Marlboros. They're standing and looking because they don't know what you want them to build. We need blueprints and you give us eternal staircases. Hey! You kids, get off that stairway to heaven. It's not safe. Look, there are a lot of paths we can go by with this remodel, Mr. Plant. We can even completely change the road we're on if you want. But I can't have my guys just standing around. You gotta meet me halfway. I have other jobs I need to do. Clapton keeps calling me. Thing is, when I ask you to be specific, you tell me stuff like this.
And it's whispered that soon, if we all call the tune, then the piper will lead us to reason. And a new day will dawn for those who stand long, and the forest will echo in laughter.
If you could just draw me a sketch on a napkin or something, I guess I could put speakers out there in the forest and put a laugh track on a tape loop and maybe a delay for the echo effect. But, you know, here's an idea. If you want laughter, just go get some DVDs. Larry the Cable Guy is pretty funny. Okay, I suppose we gotta talk about the hedgerow.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a sprinkling for the Bay Queen.
No, Mr. Plant, I am alarmed about the bustle. All the guys are. What you call the May Queen is in fact a live badger. You released badgers into the hedgerow when Mr. Page was here last time, remember? When you guys dressed all up as hobbits? They're biting everyone and there are infections. We gotta do something about the hedgerow. And the stairway. There's no way I can bring this thing up to code. Sincerely, J.P. Jones, Houses of the Holy Construction.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Support for Wits comes from websites. For more information, go to websites. And Older Brother Magazine. This month's cover story is Hitting Yourself. Why do you keep doing it? Let's play some more music. Once again, here's Stephen Page.
getting wronger every day. I'll be true. Oh, you know I'll never break your heart. I hear you. Could you repeat the last part, darling? You're talking to a man now. You're talking to a man now, child. What do you think I do all day? I make art when inspiration blows my way. Oh, the shouting. Well, I'm getting kinda used to that, but this doubting my intentions. Well, honey, that just makes me sad. Oh, darling, you're talking to a man. Child, you're talking to a man, child, now. Speak slowly, darling. You're talking to a man, child. You're talking to a man, child, now. Speak slowly. You ask for conversation.
With John Munson and the Witnesses. Wits lightning round. Quick answers, quick responses, pretty much Oprah on espresso, but no one here is getting a car. Bobcat, who makes you laugh?
Charlene.
Charlene is a good one. Steven, what Beatles song is most important to listen to?
Paperback Writer.
Why?
It has everything.
Good answer.
It has everything you need.
Bobcat, as a guy named Bobcat, has your life changed since the introduction of the word cougar into the vernacular?
Yes. Although I'm so old now, my groupies are saber-toothed tigers.
How did you get the name Bobcat in the first place?
It was during, John Cougar Mellencamp. He already had cougars, so I went with Bob Scratch Goldfarb.
Catchy.
Someone really asked me if I was Bob Scratch Goldfarb one day.
Bob Scratch
and
Goldfarb.
I said, yes, I am.
Of course I am.
What's the fastest way to end this exchange? Yes.
Stephen, there's a line on your last album that says, I was born old and grew up younger. The hell?
You remember Bobcat talking about the time travel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the same thing. I'm just, we're working on a movie together.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're two time traveling cops, but they don't get along.
Really? Hold on. You're saying they're partners, but they're kind of mismatched?
Yeah. One of the guys is a real free spirit, and the other guy is a little bit more by the rules.
He wants to quit.
I would think that they would put the free spirit with another free spirit.
No.
Really?
It doesn't work that way in the movies.
No.
Well, at least none of them are close to retirement, I hope.
Yeah.
It's actually the last gig for the one guy.
Oh.
But then he goes back in time and sees... Josh Brolin playing himself as Nick Nolte.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to make a time-traveling movie where the 50-year-old me travels back and talks the 22-year-old me out of being in Police Academy.
Now, that would be a good treatment for the Police Academy reboot, I think.
And I just hang around Hightower and say, that's really cool, man. That's awesome.
Bobcat Goldthwait, if Lincoln were alive today, how would that have happened? How did he survive all these years?
Oh, well, it was a twin that actually got shot that day, and he much like Elvis, he was tired of all the hoopla surrounding him, and he wanted to get back to his roots of just being a lawyer.
Uh-huh. Country lawyer in a log cabin.
With an axe.
Eerily preserved.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go with that. Stephen Page, what's your favorite thing a fan has ever said to you?
I know. Aren't you Drew Carey?
Nice.
Wow.
And finally, Bobcat Goldthwait, if an army of sharks fought an army of gorillas in a swamp, who would win?
The gorillas.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't even think I need to explain that.
All right.
They're gorillas.
And then follow-up question to Stephen Page. Would that war have been worth it in the end?
Yes, of course it would have been. Because then we wouldn't have to deal with the banning of shark fin soup because there would be no shark fins to ban, and then that's a big problem with a lot of communities
right
now.
That's always just weighing me down, the shark fin soup ban.
Well, you know, it's because it's a delicacy in Asia, and people who are not Asian don't like the fact that so here, you don't have to worry about it. No more sharks. Have gorilla soup.
And that's the Wits Lightning Round. Here is our own, very own, from John Munson and the Witnesses, Janie Winterbauer, along with the rest of the Witnesses, John Munson, Steve Rome, Joe Savage, and Richard Medick.
Going to smile to make you frown. What a
cause everybody knows
she's a femme fatale.
Things she does to please, she's just a little tease. See the way she walks, hear the way she talks.
Wits is produced by Larissa Anderson. Our team includes Mark Sanchez, Rob Byers, Julia Schrenkler, Jen Deo, Jeff Kamen, Bethany Barberg, and the staff of the Fitzgerald Theater. Wits is written by me with help from writer-performers Joseph Scrimshaw, Bill Corbett, Kevin Murphy, and writer Ben Schwartz. Music director John Munson and the witnesses Steve Rome, Joe Savage, Richard Maddock, and Janie Winterbauer. Musical guest Stephen Page. And, of course, Bobcat Goldthwait. Wits is developed by Tony Boll and Peter Clowney and is a production of APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. Bye now.